speakers, but before I introduce them, we have to do a moment of silence. We have to do our Mr. Serenity prayer. So if you could join with me. God, grant us serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Just for today. Okay, we have two speakers, and the topic of the workshop is, well, John, who am I with nobody looking? We have two addicts up here, both of them named John. The first one comes from the Sunshine State. That's John C. out of Florida.
I'm an addict. I'm John.
Thanks, John.
And I am from South Florida, and it's good to be here, but it's not that good to be here, all right? I'm in South Florida because I like the heat, and it's too goddamn cold here. But I was telling John, I'm glad there's not a lot of people here, you know? Shit. And, like, this topic is saying, who am I when nobody's watching? No, who ain't I when nobody's watching? Shit. But I hate topic meetings, man, because you know what? Then you're trying to focus on your topic and all of that, you know. But I know who I was when nobody was watching when I first got here. You know what I'm saying? And that was somebody I really didn't want to be because I was so afraid and so scared of living life, you know. And I had a role. You know, I don't know about nobody else, but I played a role, even on my out there using. You know, like when I was out there using and everybody was there, I had this setup, you know, because God was good to me. You know, my first wife took care of me. You know what I'm saying? Even if I didn't want to take a bath, she threw me in the bath. You know what I'm saying? Even when I didn't want to put on clean clothes, she did. So everybody thought I was okay because the outside looked real good. But when nobody was watching, you know what I was. You know, and and what happened was, you know, like everything else, man, you know, it was a process. You know, and I got to this point of even it didn't matter if anybody was looking or not. I was who I was no matter where I was at, you know, because that's where the drugs took me. You know, my addiction took me to a lot of places I didn't want to go. You know, I never dreamt of going, but the reality is I ended up there, you know, and through that process of getting to that place, I finally got to this place, which is called Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and I'm blessed and I'm grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. Because you know what? If it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous, I don't know where I would be. And it wouldn't matter if you were seeing me or not seeing me, because when I was out there using it, doesn't matter. You know, and and what happened was I came here, and I like to share this, you know, because it's so important. You know, when I got here, I couldn't read and I couldn't write. So that tells you right away, I had to have a lot of image. You know, I had to put a lot of front up. So really, when you seen me, it wasn't the person who you really seen. Because see, when I was out by myself, I was a total different kind of guy. See, I was really that kind and loving person. But when I first got here and I had that big image, I couldn't be that. You know, I had to play this tough guy. You know, I had to act like I knew everything. You know, I had all the answers. You know, I've been through it all. You know, and the reality is when I was alone is when I was really who I really was, you know. And and who I really was a loving and caring person, but just didn't know how to act it, you know. Because, see, I came from a place that if you was in that way of loving and caring, you wasn't all right. You know, you was weak. You was soft. You know, you was going to be abused. You were going to be used. And so when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, you know, it was all about a front, you know. And I'm so grateful for Narcotics Anonymous, man, because you know what? It gave me the opportunity to shed these masks that I wore. See, because I wore a lot of masks. I don't know about nobody else, but I came in here wearing a lot of masks. And the funny thing about this, my clean date, okay, this is how funny the mask story is. My clean date is October 31st, 1981. Which is Halloween, all right? You know, everybody goes, like, puts on a costume. I started taking my costume off. You know, I started taking all these masks off, man, and I started becoming this other person. But, you know, the reality is, when I first got here, I carried all my stuff. I don't know about nobody else. I carried it, okay? When I, like, again, you know, like, this topic is so great because, you know what? I'm not unique, and I'm not alone, okay? So I know a lot of the stuff that I brought here and the way I acted in front of everybody when I first got here wasn't who I was. And the real deal was it wasn't who I wanted to be. You know? See, I used the drugs to become something that I wasn't because I was so afraid of being who I was. All right? And through working these steps and not just working them because, you know, anybody can work the steps. Anybody can sit down and write these steps, go through the process with their sponsor. But it was about living the process, you know. And that took me a long time because, like I said, when I got here, I couldn't read and I couldn't write, you know. And I had this false image. So I couldn't go and tell you, like, you know what, I don't know how to do this. You know, I can't read and I can't write. You know, and there was a lot of times I would go home from the meeting and I wasn't as fortunate as a lot of you guys. See, I couldn't take the literature home with me and sit down and read it. You know, so a lot of times when I went home real sad. And real depressed and real angry, you know, and putting it all on me like it was my fault. And the reality is I had a learning disability that I never knew I had. You know, but through working these steps, I was able to become the person I really wanted to become. You know, and you know, and through that process, a lot of stuff has happened. You know, I remember, and I'm going to tell, you know, I like to tell little stories of my recovery, you know, because it teaches me who I really am today, you know. And there was a time when I was about 9 years old, if not younger. And I have a brother that's a dope fiend, you know, way before I was born. You know, we got 25 years in between me and my brother. Okay, so that means I grew up with the stuff in my house, looking at it. And back then, when my brother used to go to the penitentiary, my mom used to say he's going to college. I know everybody can relate to that shit. Yeah. The old timers can. Yeah. All right? It was always in school. You know, like, goddamn, how long does school last? But, and see, one of my brother's hustles was to knock on people's doors. You know, and I was a young kid sitting in my friend's house, all right? And my brother knocks on that door that I'm sitting in that house that I'm sitting in, right? And my friend's mom answers the door, and my brother says, that I just died, and he needs some money so he could bury me. Okay? That was the first time I felt, I don't know what it was, okay? But what it was wasn't comfortable. Okay? Today I know it was like shame and guilt and all of those kind of feelings, but I didn't know what it was. It just made me feel like if I would have had magic, I'd have disappeared into the woodwork. Okay? That's how I felt. But what I really did with that feeling was, I said I would never feel that feeling again. And what happened was I put this wall up. And I would become your friend so much to a place where, like, you know what, you would never invite me to your house. Because, see, I knew that I'd never wanted to feel those feelings again. You know, I share that because, you know, this is how Narcotics Anonymous works for this addict. All right? Even feeling those feelings, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to close off the world. I didn't want to close off my feelings. You know, I wanted to be able to have friends and live like normal kids do, which I find out there's no such thing as normal, all right, because we all got shit, all right? And and what happened was, you know, through this process of Narcotics Anonymous and working these steps, man, you know, I got into the program, and 10 years later, I was in New York City in a big carnival, all right, with over 100,000 people. What is the odds you're going to run into one person? All right? And like I said, I was already into the rooms at like 10 years, and this guy walking past me, all right? He walks past, I said, I know this guy. All right? And the guy that walked past was the house I was in. Okay? And I took the chance. See, because today, like, you know what? It's not only what I'm not doing when nobody's looking, it's what I'm doing when everybody's looking. You know, because I do the same thing today with you around me or without you around me. You know, and what happened was I called this guy, we came together, and you know, like God is so cool, man. Because we're walking to each other. I got a medallion on. He got a medallion on. And I said, "You in the rooms?" He says, "Yes." You know? And the funny thing is, his mother lives in the same apartment from when we were little kids. All right? So he tells me, he says, "John, why don't you come over to Mom's house? Let me tell you something." The little boy showed up. The scared person showed up. That fear of being judged and being yelled at, you know? And the funny thing is, you know, I'm getting goosebumps, right? The funny thing is, I went into that house. It was like the old days. Remember them houses with the plastic on the furniture? I know I'm giving up my age, but that's all right. But, you know, the house was the same, man, right? And the funny thing is, I walked into that house, and like I said, the little boy walked in. You know, the man wasn't walking in. That little boy, I was scared. And you know what happened, man? I went in there. I didn't get yelled at. I got loved. You know, and she was, like, so happy that I was doing this thing called recovery. And she was hugging me and loving me. And I share that because, you know what? This is only because of the process of not just doing the right thing when everybody's watching. It's because of doing the right thing when nobody's watching. See, because the reality is, for me, this is just for me now, when none of yous are watching, my God of my understanding is always watching. Okay, so I'm always being watched. You know, it's what I want to do with it when nobody's watching. And what happened was, through that process of going back into that house and walking out, it was like, you know what, for the first time, I left a piece of that little boy behind. You know what I'm saying? And the man came out. You know, and those are the stories I like to talk, because you know what? That's the process of really working these steps. It's not the nice car, you know, the nice home, the nice lady or man or whatever it might be. It's these experiences that are, to me, my God talking to me. You know, because that was God. That wasn't me. I didn't plan it. I didn't, like, set it up. It just happened. You know, and you know, when they told me about this topic, I'm like thinking, you know, this is a topic where I could just say like real crazy shit. You know, because you know when nobody's watching, I know I'm crazy. I don't know about nobody else. All right? Because I still had that disease of addiction, man. And my disease, like, he comes out and he talks to me. And when nobody's out there and I'm doing something, and, you know, like, I want to, like, cheat. Okay, I will go with that subject for now, right? And I want to cheat, and my disease says, there's nobody here that knows you. You know, it's going to be okay. What you don't know don't hurt. All right? But then I have to look on this side. But I know, will it hurt? See, I don't know about nobody else. When I first got to Narcotics Anonymous, my biggest downfall in recovery was using. It wasn't using the drug, it was using the people. See, because I used women when I first got here. That was my fix. You took away my dope, I need something. All right? And I always thought that I could live that way of life, lying, cheating, and stealing, and recover. I'm here to tell you, it didn't work for this addict. And I'm not unique, again. So I know it doesn't work for a lot of us, man. You know? So what I had to learn to do was to realize, like, you know what? What I talk and what I say in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I better be walking it when I leave here. Okay, because here is temporary. This is a temporary situation, man. Life ain't going to always show up right here. See, when we get out there is when life shows up. You know, and I'll tell you just a couple, I'm going to give you a couple of those stories where life showed up. Because you know what? The reality is when shit is good, we're all good. There ain't no work. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you got the right job and the only thing you got to do is fill the cup of water, there's nothing to it. But if he tells you now, tomorrow, you ain't got to fill the cup of water, you got to do something different. See, I don't know about you. Different for me is change. Change is hard. All right? So it's all about, like, that I had to learn, like, I had to start doing all these changes. And not just changing when I'm around here, you guys, but everywhere. You know, the biggest thing I learned in the beginning was about people, places, and things. See, because I used to go to the meetings, okay? And now I got clean up in New York. I started this process in 1979 when Narcotics Anonymous in New York was, like, that much, okay? It was real little. It's not like it is now. And I would go to the meeting, but then I wanted to go back on the block. You know, because there wasn't like we had today. You know, our reading tells us the addict today is more fortunate than ever before. You know, we are blessed today. You know, when I first got clean, I had one meeting a week to go to, and it was on a Friday night. My disease didn't work only on Friday night. Okay? He was a 7-day a week. You know what I mean? He didn't say, listen, I'm taking off tonight. You go hang out. My disease don't do that. All right? And so what I had to learn to do was, like, I had to start changing those people, places, and things, man. You know, and a lot of it for me was the hard way. You know, because I would tell my sponsor, listen, you know, I don't know about you guys. This is how I was. I never worked a day in my life until I came into recovery. All right? But every time I got put into a situation, all right, to another detox, to another TC, to another treatment center, all of a sudden I want to become responsible. I need to go home and work. You know what I'm saying? And what I would always do is, because you know what? I was afraid of becoming the person that I really was. Because that was the reality. You know, I was afraid of becoming this loving and caring human being. Because that's who we all are. You know, I believe us addicts are more sensitive than any other people in the world. You know, as much as we say we ain't, and as much as we say, I don't care what you say about me, we all do. You know, it would not be human. You know, and I just started working this thing, and I kept working it, man. You know, but I had to learn how to work this program when there was nobody around. You know, when the shit used to get bad. You know, my 18th anniversary, my present on my 18th anniversary was that I had to get on the interferon. All right, they told me I had hepatitis C and I need to get on this medicine. Okay? I was working this great program then. Okay? Now when this disease, another disease showed up, what am I going to do? Okay? Because the reality is, you know, when I was around everybody else, I was real okay. But every night when I used to have to go take this medicine and I had to poke myself, I used to go totally insane. You know, and there was a lot of times I was getting ready to take that medicine and I'd say, I'm not going to do it. You know, and those were the times I had to dig deep, man, you know, inside of me and say, you know what? You stuck shit in you to get sick, but now you don't want to stick something in to get better. You know, that's why this disease is so cunning and baffling, man. See, we'll do anything to destroy ourselves, but yet we won't do nothing to make ourselves better. You know? And there were so many nights that I would, like, have to take this medicine, man, and it was like, I'm not going to do it no more, you know. And the reality is, it was like, I'm into my 9th month of doing this. Because that's how we are. I don't know about you, that's how I am. I'm almost done. One more time, afraid of succeeding. Okay, that I'm ready to, like, destroy it one more time. You know, and I would have to sit in that bathroom and say, you know what? And I would talk to the God of my understanding and tell him, you know what? Give me the strength to take that and poke me again. You know, and I would do it, man. You know, and I went through that process, man. And you know what? It's funny because not a lot of us today know how people react on interferon, right? We get crazy. I don't know about nobody else. I was totally insane. But the worst thing about it, I didn't know. You hear that? See, I was in such denial, and I always like to say, you don't know you're in denial until you get out of it. All right? And I was in big time denial. Just like using, right? I went from 170 pounds to 135 pounds. But I thought I was still looking good. You know what I'm saying? My face was all skinny. Everybody thought I was dying. But I looked in the mirror. I said, I look good. You know? But it was those nights, again, man. You know, like, when I was on that medicine, I just wanted to stay in that bed. You know, and nobody was there. And that's when I had to take this program and, like, really work it. You know? And I had to push myself, man. And through the grace of God, I had so many people around me that, you know what? When I couldn't push myself, they would knock on the door. You know, and they would get me out of these places, you know. And that's what I really think, you know, what this topic is really about is about what am I really doing with what we really learn in Narcotics Anonymous. Because you know what? We could talk all this garbage in these rooms, you know, but it's like, what am I doing when I get outside of here? What am I doing at work? You know, what am I doing when crises really show up? You know, again, you know, we always could do right when everything is right. But you know what? It's like, when the crises show up, now let me see what kind of program do you really got. You know, and you know, it's like funny because you know what? I've been blessed, man. You know, and I say I've been blessed, you know, because I've been here, I'm going on my 24th year of being clean. And I usually don't share about that, but you know what? I do, okay, I do the same thing I did when I first got here. The same exact things I did when I first got here, I do. Because you know what? My recovery is real parallel to my using. See, I don't know about nobody else, but mine is real parallel. See, when I was out there using, I used regular. Because I think somewhere in our literature we talk about going to meetings regular, right? To me, regular is like every day. See, because I use on a regular basis. I didn't use on Monday, gave Tuesday off, and used on Wednesday. I use regularly, man. You know, and that's why I say my recovery is real parallel to my using. You know, I went to any length when I was out there using. I go to any length for my recovery. You know, this topic talks about what we do when nobody's watching. When I was using, I did a lot of shit when nobody's watching. So why can't I do it in my recovery? You know? But you know, I know I'm not unique, and you know, it's like, this thing is something that we have to live on a daily basis. You know? And I'm going to just share one more story, and then I'm going to let John share. And this is where, you know, I don't know about nobody else. I'm the last one to know, like, I really have something going on. And I'm not bragging, but you know what? I always believe, you know, I put myself down the most than anybody else. I don't ever know, like, I'm doing the right thing. Everybody else got to point it out. But, you know, like, my God in the last, since I had 18 years clean till today, has keep showing up with these things to let me know, like, you got it. You know what? You don't have to stop putting yourself down for it. You know? Because on my 20th anniversary, all right, just to show you how this thing really works and what you really got, you know, what I really had to do, man. On my 20th anniversary, I was married to my second wife. I had a couple, all right? I ain't ashamed to say it. I'm going to work on a third. But, because I don't believe I had bad relationships. The season just ended. Okay? But, And if we had more time, I'd tell you how come I don't believe my relationships were bad and they just ended. Because you know what? Everybody has a reason for being where they need to be at the time. You know? And anyway, my second wife, she throws me this big anniversary party, closed down a restaurant, 80 people, all right? We have a great time. She sent me to the Bahamas. I come home, all right? And this is the funny part of it. We're leaving the Bahamas, and everybody's trying to get out of the Bahamas because there's a hurricane coming. All right? So we're all rushing to get out of the Bahamas from the hurricane. I got home. I hit the eye of the storm. Okay? See, because when I got home, my second wife said she needed to leave. All right? Now you talk about, what am I going to do when nobody's watching? Because nobody was watching. It was just me and her. You know? And I'm so grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. Because you know what? The old John didn't show up. See, because we all know what the old John would have said, right? You got to be crazy. Don't you know you're mine? I own you. Because that's how I used to be. I don't know about you guys. I had property. Okay? I had stocks in you. You ain't leaving. All right? Through Narcotics Anonymous, I learned that I have a partner that has a choice to make a decision. Okay? And when she made that decision, and nobody was watching, I didn't start calling her all kind of holes and this and that and how can you do this to me? Because right away it's to me. I'm so special. Right? How could you do this? Then she made a decision to leave for a woman. Now, like, my head should have been saying, you got to be crazy. You know? Now I got to prove that I can hold you. And you know what? That nobody wasn't watching, God was watching. And this is to show you how God really works. All right? As soon as she tells me that, the telephone rings. And it's my sponsor. Okay? And he says, listen, I didn't come into Miami. I came into Fort Lauderdale, and you got to pick me up. That's God, man. Okay? See, so even though nobody was watching, God took care of me one more time. You know, and I got to the airport, and he just looked at me and said, what happened? What happened? No, what did happen? Shit. Oh, man. Thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. Because you know what? I didn't have to act out. And I could let go with love. You know, and he said, you know what? Let's just sit and pray. And we prayed. And I was able to go home and you know, and take care of business. And I share that because you know what? That's what this is really talking about. See, it's not just when you're all alone. It's when you're with somebody else and a situation occurs. What am I going to do? You know, and you know the funny thing about this whole thing is that, you know what, not once, see, again, don't forget, I take hostage, I take property, it's mine, you can't have it. Not one time did I tell this woman, you know what, it's going to be all right, let's hang in there. You know, and it's only because of working these steps and believing, like, you know what, the God of my understanding is doing something that I don't need to understand. See, because I'm the kind of guy, it's like, if I don't understand it, it can't be gray. It got to be black or white. It can't be gray. It can't be just what it is, and it is. You know, and through that process, I learned, like, you know what? Really, what I've learned from that whole situation was, like, how to love a person for being just that person and not who I want them always to be. Because, see, that's when we get angry, for me. When relationships don't work, we don't get angry because the relationship ain't working. It's because of us. We're so self-centered. What people going to think? How they going to look at us now? Blah, blah, blah. And you know what? You know what? Nobody don't look at me no different. I even got more respect than I did before. Because you know what? When the shit hit the fan, the old man didn't come back out. You know, I like to say the old man, that old disease. He didn't come back out and say, now we better go tap every girl to show everybody you're a real man. Okay, that's when I was all alone. My head was saying, we got to go hit every woman so everybody can know, like, you know what? It ain't had nothing to do with you. You know, we can show them we know how to do this thing. All right? But see, one more time, I didn't have to do that. See, because I was able to sit there with me and God, and like, he gives me the strength and the ability and the courage, and the wisdom, and the love, and I could go on with all these principles that we are being taught on a regular basis. See, that's when it shows up. Now, am I going to live those principles, or do I take all that love and willingness and throw it out the window and say, you know, I'm going to just hurt somebody, and it'll be all right. You know, and you know what? And I've gone through that process, man. You know, because you know what? God for me is, like, awesome. He knows what he's doing, you know. As long as I stay out of the way, you know, but I still like to take the driver's seat and take control and do what I want to do, man, you know. But, you know, through the grace of God, you know, I keep doing what I need to do. You know, and I'm just tell one more story and I'm going to shut up. Are we there? All right, we there, so I got to shut up quick. But, you know, just to show you how this thing really works, you know, I gave myself time to be alone, you know, because I made a commitment because, you know what, I don't want to do what I used to do. And that was to put a Band-Aid on and get fixed. We all know how to fix. We just don't know how to deal. All right? And I made a commitment to John not to do that. And I did it. You know, and then like a year later, I met a woman. Right? And I asked her out on a date, blah, blah, blah. And first thing out of her mouth is, I'm leaving, I'm moving. And you know how like you're hanging around and you finally find somebody like, Dan, you know what? I don't mind investing. Because a relationship is an investment. You know what I'm saying? Don't think it just happens. All right? And I find a girl that I'm willing to, like, invest in, like, not just hang out, but invest. And she tells me she wants to leave. And I'm so grateful for this program because you know what? I didn't allow that fear of her leaving stop me from enjoying life. You know what I'm saying? Because see, those old things that happen to us, we allow to stop us from enjoying what might be, even if it's for a temporary. Because I believe everything's a season, and seasons always end. You know, but if I don't take the chance to enjoy the partial of the season, I don't know when it ends. You know, and what happened was we said, oh, we'll just hang out. You know, a year later, we're still hanging out. You know, and she's up here in D.C., and you know what I said, right, when I first got up here? I like it up here, but I like the sunshine. You know, so you know, it's like one more time, like God is saying, you know, what you going to do? And see, she's here, over here, I'm over there. I'm still human, you know, and we're talking about when nobody's watching. So, you know, when I'm over there, my disease is like, shit, she's 1,300 miles away. I could play, I could do this, I could do whatever. You know, ain't nobody going to know. You know, because Florida's a big state. You know what I'm saying? So you got to hide. But I don't want to hide from John. See, and if any message I could really say to anybody today here is like, you know what? It doesn't matter if nobody's watching. I need to remember, I'm always watching. Because it's always inside of me what I do. You know what? Because every time I cheated and lied, that person didn't know. But you know what? I'm the one that always paid the price. You know, I'm real grateful to be here. I'm real grateful that the committee even asked me to share my experience, strength, and hope. Because you know what? This is always an honor and a blessing to share. You know, because you know what? If it wasn't for the people that were here before I was here, I wouldn't be here. Thanks for letting me share with you guys.
That's John C. from Florida. Our next speaker, Love Desire Kid from Washington, D.C., John D.
I'm Ag named John. And it's only by God's grace that I'm here. And when I say that, I don't say that lightly because I know that today His mercy is my cover. And I'm probably going to break down my sponsor kind of talked about it last night. My best friend is in here, Charles J., suffering with cancer. And he's really the only one who truly, truly know me. And out of all the friends that I've made since I've been in Narcotic Anonymous, I can truly say that he really know who I am. He's really seen and know the person that I allow nobody else to see. I kind of like who I am today, and the reason that I like who I am today is because I don't have to be who he knew I was. And the reason I'm saying that is because I want him to know that he can be just like me. He can have everything that I got. And I'm talking about a peace of mind. I'm talking about being able to be the person that you truly are. I'm talking about not taking the principles of this program and applying to the image that I projected all my life and allow the real me to die. I enjoy being a loving and caring individual. I don't have to be who you know I am. When I came into this program, I came out of a penitentiary after a lot of years. And I was angry. And when I came to Narcotic Anonymous, I didn't come to get clean. I came because a lot of people owed me money. They sold dope for me. They owed me money, so I came into Narcotic Anonymous. And you're going to pay me what you owed me. And I chased people out of Narcotic Anonymous with knives. Jumped on people in Narcotic Anonymous when I first got here. You know, chased people up and down the street because they owed me And they were driving Mercedes, and they had a lot of stuff, and I felt like it was because I put them in a position to get what they had. And when I came home, they owed me. And when I asked them for money, they told me, JD, it ain't like that. I ain't hustling no more. I'm working two jobs. I don't do what I used to do. But yet and still, they were living like we were living when I went to jail. So I started to doing the same things that I did when I was in the street. Okay, I started following people home. I started watching who they were being with. I started numbering the people. Well, he with him, so I got to get these three. He with him, so I got to do these two. He with him, so I got to do this. I have went back to the same things that have always done me harm, but have never ever done me any good. And I was all right with that. You know, and I stayed around just long enough. And, you know, I hear people say this program will change you without your permission. But I know God don't need your permission to change you. God will do whatever he wants to do. He will put you where he wants you to be. And what he is doing today is a lie. I don't have to tell you. Who am I when no one's looking? You can see who I am. When no one's looking. Those who know me. Those who have become a friend of mine. I don't make friends easy. I don't allow you in my space. I'll laugh and joke with you. And I'm the same guy that'll cut your throat. And walk away and feel nothing. So what I try to do today is I allow this program of Narcoconomics to change me into the person who I'm becoming. And I enjoy and love who I am today. I don't even answer a lot of times to the name of JD anymore because JD carry an evil spirit. I'm learning to be an upright, independent, and fearless individual. I want to thank God, man, for people who have always been there for me. I came into this program after doing a lot of years in jail, and in 4 months I was in a relationship, and 18 months I was married, and I never had a chance to be a newcomer. And all the mistakes that I made in my marriage, I never went through the process. So I did those things in my marriage. You'll never hear me speak bad about my ex-wife. She's a good individual. She's a beautiful person. But she's just not for me. And the reason that I'm saying that is because before I came in this meeting, I seen a couple of her sponsees. And what happens when people get into this process? You know, and people say it don't bother, it don't, you know, you still cool with me, you know. But what happens is, you know, some of my friends have shunned away from her. But they were friends with her when we were married. Some of her friends have shunned away from me. But we were friends. When we were married. And when I went out to look for my friend and seen three of her sponsees, I spoke. And they didn't say a word. And it affected me just for that moment. But what I understand is that, man, regardless of how I may feel, the love that they have for them, they feel something too. My friends feel something too. And when we going through something, an individual will put them on the defense. They don't want to choose between you and her. But it's a feeling, man. But I want to thank God, man, for a true friend. Somebody who is her best friend and somebody who is my best friend who has never, ever changed toward me. And everything that I go through, I go to her with it. I want to thank Lillian for being a true friend who has always been there for me. My sponsor, William P., man, I want to thank God for people who he has put in my life, Stan Beats, you know, people who tell me the truth, man, and not what I want to hear. People who are not afraid. See, man, I got people in the fellowship who know why I was in the street and allow me to die in this program. Because they still want to be all right with JD, and JD is trying to change. What I like about people who tell me the truth is that that's the respect that I want. And that's the respect that I give. But I have a lot of people, man, who still want to be all right with me. Man, I came home after a lot of years, man. People been in the street for so many years. Man, I'm glad you're home, man. The joke can get some money now. People were begging me for money like I had been in the street, man. And I had been gone almost 20 years. But, man, me wanting everybody to like me, the money that everybody was giving me, you would walk up and say, JD, give me $20. I'll reach in my pocket. Man, you ain't getting no money yet, nigga. I was giving you what people were giving me because I still wanted people to look at me a certain way, man. I still wanted people to say, all I wanted to say, man, JD a good dude. Man, JD all right, man. Man, he'll do this for you. He'll do that for you. He'll do this for you. But I was looking for something in return, man. But when I came into this program and I heard them say something that stuck with me, it says, me and we'll love you until you learn to love yourself. I've gotten to the point where I'm all right with me, man. I love who I am today. You know, also, man, you know, I was going through some things. Didn't know how I was going to get to work. You know, car was gone. You know, one morning, and I called a friend of mine, you know, named Tam. And I told her what was going on. She said, JD, don't worry about that. You can use my car. I was all in my head about what I was going to do and, you know, don't nobody do this to me. But, man, what she told me was, it's only a car. Man, God will make a way. I have not missed a day driving since the car was gone. I know that that's God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. You know, when I came in here today, man, and people were asking me, you know, man, Jack, I know you're going to hit them with that piece. I know you're going to. I don't like talking about where I've been. I don't like talking about what I did in the street. What I remember is the sleepless nights that I had when I laid down and seen people's faces and couldn't go to sleep, man. What I'm talking about is coming in this program, talking about I got a sense of peace, laughing and joking with you all, and go home, man, and toss and turn all night. Laying down, praying, and asking God to remove it, and feel like he don't hear me because I felt like I done something that y'all ain't done. Man, I was so caught up one time, and I felt like God wasn't hearing me. I felt like, man, maybe I ain't praying right. Maybe, you know, I should. So I learned how to speak Arabic. Listen to what I'm telling you, man. I knew it was a God, because my father loved the Lord. He's a pastor. But I knew it was a God. But I said, maybe I'm praying to the wrong God. So I started studying Islam. You know, the religion of Islam. And I had learned how to speak, barely could speak English. But I say, man, well, I got to pray to somebody. So, man, I was prostrating. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Hamdulillah, dulillah, I mean. I had went and learned how to speak Arabic and say prayers. And, you know, I started studying Judaism. And I started studying Buddhism. And, you know, I was studying all these type of religions. And when I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, they said, man, it's not about religion. This is a spiritual program. It ain't about God. It's about finding a power greater than. A man that freed me. Because I didn't feel like I had to try to pray to 2-3 gods. I remember a person saying, John, it would be best to pray as if it was a God than not to pray and find out later on that it is. See, I knew it was a God. Even when I was doing wrong, man, I think a lot of times the reason that I did so much wrong was I knew that he had me then. And that was felt like I had the ups on them. And when I turned my life around, man, the person that I'm talking about, who are you when no one's looking? Hey, J.D., man, you're a spiritual brother. J.D., man, you do a whole lot of good. J.D., you help everybody. But I understood why I was doing so much good. Who I was and who I am is. I felt like if I just did a whole lot of good, more good than I did bad, God would bless me for the good that I did. That's why I did so much good. Not because I felt like it was the right thing to do, but I feared God. And I thought about, man, if I don't do, you know, you done so much wrong, Jay. You know, you got to try to, man, I know that God loves me just like he loves you. And I know that a fool soul is just as precious in the sight of God as mine and yours. I thank God for the truth today. You know, man, I used to lie so much. He'll tell you, he know me better than anybody else. They used to call me, what they call me? Chief tell a lie. They used to say, man, that dude can lie and make you believe everything he say to get some dope. Everybody in the city knew. Man, look, I don't have no money, man. I need some dope on assignment, man, because if I don't get it, I'm going to do something. You can't walk around and sell dope in this city and don't give me none. I done been shot. I done took dope from people who took lives. Who, you know, if you took their dope, you know you died. Hit you, I took it, came back the next day and said, if you don't kill me, nigga, I ain't going to pay you. That's what I did. But see, I'm going to show you your sickness. I went to the penitentiary doing the same thing. I took Joker's dope in jail. I sold dope in the penitentiary. Everything that I did in the street, I did in jail. And this is why I know that it's God. I'm going to say this in the book. When I came out of the penitentiary, the same thing that I was doing in jail, I did in the street. When I came out of jail, I don't know what happened. When they came to get me from the courthouse, I said, man, y'all go ahead, talk about my family. I just want to walk and feel the sun on my face. And I ended up at a meeting at the Reeves Club. I didn't know then that it was the grace of God. But I know now. And I was so caught up on sound effect, when I seen a guy who used to sell dope for me, he was driving a Mercedes, he had gold and everything. I said, yeah, I'm home. But I was in the halfway house. And I'm going to tell you how I get caught up on sound effect. He was afraid to tell me that he was in the program. You know what he said? I said, man, you got any paper? He said, J.D., I got you. That's all I wanted to know. He got me. But what he did was, he gave me some money. And said, man, what time you do back at the halfway house? I said, I got to be back at 8. He give me $500. And then when he get me to the halfway house, he said, man, look, you just coming home, man. You've been locked up so long. How much money are you supposed to have in that joint, man? I ain't going to let you go back to jail. I said, I ain't supposed to have but $50. He said, well, look, give me $450 of that money back. You understand? Listen what I'm telling you. Listen what I'm telling you. But he said, man, look, I'm going to come and get you every day. Listen, but just give me $450 of money back. Take $50 in there. You know you got to do what they tell you to do. You know they own you and all of this. I said, yeah, shorty, you right. I give him $450 back. He said, I got you in the morning. Sure enough, he came, picked me up, dropped me off at the Reeves. I ain't know he was in recovery. Dropped me off at the Reeves Club. He said, look, I got to go to work. Say, you got, you know, how much money you got? I said, I still got the field. I ain't you that. You know? He said, well, man, here go $100 or something just in case you see somebody might want to buy somebody selling something. But every day I noticed, man, I went, you know, people were giving me money. You know, I might have $700,000 or whatever. And every day I was getting ready to go in the halfway house, he would say, how much money you got on your shorty? I said, man, here, take this money, man. I got to fit it out. And when I looked up and I came out of the halfway house, I said, man, look, you can hit a joke off now. He said, man, I ain't got no paper, man. I'm working two jobs, struggling, paying bills. So then I wanted to do something to him because I felt like I had been used. Then I wanted to do something to him. I felt like I had been used. And I heard him say something, somebody that would have never said nothing about the police. I said, man, I'm going to cry. Man, look, you're going to do something. You know what he, if you put your hand on me, you're going to jail. I say, what? I say, you hot so-and-so-and-so-and-so. I say, man, this dope thing done changed. You joke, you ain't like that. He say, man, I know you hurt somebody. You ain't going to do nothing. If you hurt me, you going to jail. So I said, man, let me holler at you. He said, I ain't got nothing to say to you. I'm talking about how this brother look. I'm talking about how reality set in. I'm talking about still being on parole, still knowing that if I get locked up for anything, that's 5 years for me. I don't care what I do to go back to jail. I got to do 5 years. I walked away angry, but I walked away. You understand? And I'm still here, man, almost 7 years later. I'm talking about how this program will change you if you allow it to. How this program will make you into the person you've always wanted to be. See, I didn't come in this program living. I see a lot of people come in this program and they live just like they wanted to live in the street. Jokers ain't never had a woman, always wanted 2-3 women, coming to Narcotics Anonymous to get 2-3 women. Jokers that ain't never had nothing, people respect it. He always wanted the respect that you had, always wanted to feel like somebody, but didn't have the courage to do the things that they did, never had over $5 in their pocket in their life, come in this program. And I've seen them buy homes. Seen them go back to school. Seen them accomplish the things that they've always wanted to be in life, man. This program affords you any opportunity that you want if you allow it to work in your life, man. I thank God for this program. Thank you for letting me share, and thank y'all for being here for me.